we've got to the tail end of one of the busiest weeks in the world of racing. And I thank you very much for joining us on the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. My name is Patrick Connelly. I'm joined by, once again, Ruby Walsh, Matt Chapman. But Fran Berry, after tipping up quite a few winners, unfortunately, is playing golf in, well, I'm looking outside the window here, and my God, he's probably getting, so he'd probably prefer to be on the pod. Ruby, long week, I can detect from your voice.
It's been a long week, a lot of talking. Some people would say plenty of lies told. Haven't tipped that many winners, I don't think. Nowhere near Fran Berry's league anyway. Mind you, I might just be short-heading Matt Chapman, if that's something to brag about. I don't particularly think it is. But long week. Can't wait for next week, PK.
Oh,
phone's gone off. Don't even attempt to ring me or text me or email me or whatever it is.
I might just see how you are, Ruby. You know, I know you.
What's happening then?
And I'll see if I get a reply. So, Paddy, you come in to replace Fran Berry. I'm not going to lie, bit of pressure. He tipped up 8-1 and 10-1 winners on Thursday. Good luck.
At all, yeah.
Yeah, that's all. But, yeah.
That's his job, isn't it? To be fair. Although I did hear, I know you spoke.
It's a very tight T-shirt.
But it's not that tight. It wasn't that tight. And I'm the person
that tight when he bought it.
Well, look, I'm happy to take on a bit of the pressure because I'm feeling quite confident going into the weekend, actually.
Ooh, I love that. I love the sound of that. And a man who's always confident is Mr. Chapman, Matt Chapman. I must admit, the confidence could be waning, though.
Oh, look, I've had a pants week. I hold my hands up. Unlike the others who try and brush it over with, I've done a bit better than him or la-di-da-di-da. I hold my hands up. I've been pants this week. You know, what I look at it is it does become a bit boring if I'm brilliant all the time. So you lose the challenge, don't you? This is a challenge, this game. And if it doesn't become a challenge, you have to go and look for another sport. So the good thing is for everyone, I will not be looking for another sport because it has been a horrific week. Well done to Willie Mullins, though, with old Saudi. Who'd have thought it? Top weight. It's unbelievable what he manages to do with that brilliant work rider that he's got, the old bloke with the silver hair who's really good.
And you're not talking about Ruby Walsh. Are you talking about Patrick Wallace? No. They've got a good team, haven't they? And they've done well at Galway. Well done to Willie and team. Right, lads, let's cap off the week with a few winners. Let's look at the ITV racing on Saturday. We've got Goodwood and a couple of supporting races from Newmarket. I'll tell you what, lads, if you're looking for winners this Saturday afternoon, I had to scan through some of the prices. If we get winners, there'll be nice prices. Let's look at the one, the opener, the 120, a 7-furlong handicap. At the time of recording, Quintilius for William Buick and Charlie Appy, 3-1 favourite. Spirit of Bermuda is 7-2. Masters Offany, 13-2, as is Dark Shift. Just Frank, 9-1. We look forward to welcoming Frank back. Okay, Matt, you're first off to give us a winner in this handicap.
Well, I can say first of all that my 7 selections on ITV Saturday are all each way selections, so immediately you get a rough idea of how tricky it is. I thought this was hard. All of the leading contenders for me are quite high in the handicap, and I couldn't see anything lurking out of it, so I've just gone with a horse in form in the end. Spirit of Bermuda seems to be going well for Haggis and Tom Marcond, won the last two starts. Seems to be a bit of a 7-furlong specialist, and I think there are horses like that occasionally. And the recent Leicester and Newmarket wins look pretty decent. I can see the Godolphin horse, Quintilius, has got a great chance on the Ascot form. But the question with that horse is, was that a one-off, or is that how it's going to perform from now on? Only this race will tell us, so I'm going to stick with the horse who's a bit more consistent, Spirit of Bermuda.
Paddy, who's in the Bermuda of Ireland down on the East Coast, British.
I'm going to start off with a no comment because I couldn't make head nor tail of this race. I couldn't fancy anything strongly. So I'm going to start off with a very responsible, I don't fancy anything.
You're doing a good, Fran.
That's
very
really
impressive.
Helpful. Thanks. Thanks, Paddy. Thanks for filling in Fran's shoes. It was well worth you turning up.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Well, I told you I was confident about not losing money this weekend. So.
I can't tell you how happy I was when Stradivarius was a non-runner just to get something back.
Okay, we'll keep them listening because there will be winners coming, folks, despite all this. Ruby, come on now. Your thoughts on the opener, Goodwood?
I've gone for a big each way shot, and it's been out of form this year. I'm hoping it'll come back to its form from last season. And that Shark 2-1 of Richard Fahey, Shaw Fanning takes the ride. It's around about 20-1 at the time of recording, but I thought it had some decent form last year. Likes a bit of soft ground. If it keeps raining in Sussex, is that where Goodwood is?
It is.
Might handle a bit of cutting the ground.
Okay, excellent. We'll keep an eye out for that nice each way price, as Ruby said. Right, move on to the Stewards' Cup consolation race, which is due off at 155. So this is going to be extra places, big cavalry charge, 6 furlongs. If you didn't fancy one in the first, Paddy, I'm sure you've got a big fancy for this one.
I do, actually. Yeah, oh, I come do. On. I quite like Boundless Power in this race because I think just best form on softish ground, obviously, and won't mind a big field. Like, it's obviously a wide open race and that, and they need a little bit of luck and all, but as the winner will definitely get a bit of luck in this race, whoever wins it, and hopefully Boundless Power will be there or thereabouts. I think a decent chance each way.
Is Boundless Power is an X Power horse?
No. We have one of them coming up, but not yet.
Okay, very good. Ruby, any thoughts on Stewards' Cup consolation?
Yeah, I went for Adam Kirby and Clive Cox, Royal Scimitar. Won a maiden this time last year at Newmarket over 6 furlongs. Over 6 furlongs. They then went up and tripled it. Ran over 7 furlongs in a mile its next couple of starts until its last start at Newmarket, where it dropped back to 6 furlongs and ran well behind Blackrod. That was early in July. I just thought back to 6 furlongs. Only a 3-year-old. Maybe they found the right trip for it and it could improve after having a sharpener at Newmarket a couple of weeks ago.
Surely Matt Chapman is tipping up the greatest showman.
I've gone for an old horse who will cruise for 4 furlongs after that. Who knows what he'll do, because it's completely in his head. But he's fully capable of running a big race in these types of events. And he's the old monkey open wide for Amanda Perrett. I think Safi Osborne will suit this horse because he's not a horse to interfere with. You just sit there and you cruise. And when he's on a going day, he has a turn of pace. He's off a very good handicap mark, but he's been off a very good handicap mark for some time now. Arguably, he'd like good to firm ground rather than good. So there are lots and ifs and buts, but there are lots of ifs and buts about all of these. But I'm going to take a chance each way with open wide.
Okay, 3 picks for the Stewards' Cup consolation race. We'll get to the Stewards' Cup later, but beforehand, the 2:30 is a 1.75 handicap. Now, let's have a look at the prices at the time of recording. Nui St. George, who's on a hat-trick for Sean Levy, back in the saddle after his ban. He's 5-1, or Sean Levy, 5-1 favourite aboard that one. 11-2 for Mike Frankel. Win O'Clock, 8-1. A Day is 17-2, as is Urban Artist, who has come in for support. On to Victory, 10-1. Future Investment and Bodyline, also 10-1. And Prince Alex. Okay, Ruby, you're first off.
I was going to stick with Alan King. His horses have been in great form all week. On to Victory, top weight, I know, but Tom Marcand rides a second on his last start here, over 1.5 miles behind Hookham, back up to 1.6 miles. He's one over further. Alan King's horses are flying. We know the horse handles the course. That's the simple reasons behind my theory.
On to Victory for Ruby. Matt?
Yes, the Menissier horse, I thought, was interesting. It's quite high in the handicap now. It's been a handicapper for some time and looked exposed, but Dava Menissier is clearly a force that is growing all the time. He's a right character as well. For instance, he sends me frog emojis. Well, not every Frenchman does that, which is quite nice. It means he's a bit of fun. He's doing really well. He's the kind of... the word I'd use for Menissier as a trainer is the kind of place that Paddy goes and stays with the family. Boutique. He's a boutique trainer. Doesn't want too many horses, but the ones he's got usually are quite good. Anyway, I had to go against that horse anyway after all that because I thought it was high on the handicap now. I'm
just
going
to say,
Urban Artist.
Matt, we are talking to Paddy and he is in a caravan. I mean, I'm not sure how much of a boutique caravan it is, but it is a caravan nonetheless.
Yeah, but you
it's a pretty
can't
fancy
see the
caravan, to be fair.
Yeah. You can't see the three wings, the other wings of the caravan, the jacuzzi, the hot tub outside with the four girls. Anyway, Urban Artist for me. She's a pretty decent mare. She's not on a bad handicap mark. Murphy was on board when she won her last race at Newmarket. She's got quite a big weight, 9 stone 5, but she's a great bit butch beast. You meet her in the hole in the wall in Galway, you walk straight out of the pub. I'm going to go with Urban Artist each way.
All right, Paddy?
I completely agree with Ruby and pretty much said the exact same thing as him. On to Victory, second to Hookham here in listed race to Likes Goodwood, most importantly trained by Alan King. So,
okay. All right. Paddy and Ruby agree.
This is a handicap, though. It's worth remembering that the boys are talking about a group race or whatever, but this is a handicap, lads.
Yeah, but it was so finished
second in this race since last start.
Yeah, so, you know.
That's what we both said. Now, I'm sure that's what Paddy said, and I'm certain that's what I said, but sure, maybe you heard different, Matt.
I think Ruby's playing Tetris in between all this. He can keep on his phone. I reckon he's gotten the blocks coming down. And he's
Space Invaders.
Oh, you can't beat.
He's probably reading your column, Matt.
He probably is.
He's still awake.
It's a long week, Matthew, and I believe Ruby was potentially out last night. Potentially,
he does look as though he was out last night,
and he feels like he was out too.
Potentially. Okay, right, let's move on to the Stewards' Cup, lads. This is nice and easy for us. We've got one, the Lily Langtry before the Stewards' Cup, my apologies. And the aforementioned David Minussier saddles wonderful tonight. She's odds on at the time recording of 4-6. If more rain falls, how short will she get? Alba Flora, 5-1. Believe in Love for Roger Varian, a winner in Ireland, 9-1. 12-1. Tribal Craft, 14-1 for Aidan O'Brien's Divinely. And 16's Bar. Ruby, your first on the Lily Langtry.
I think Wonderful Tonight will win. She's in a different league to the opposition, and her price will reflect that. But I think Nine Runners does give an each way angle, and I like Divinely each way. She was third in Epsom and in the Oaks, then was fourth at Ascot, where she didn't get much of a run, and came back to the Curragh to finish second in the Irish Oaks there behind Snowfall as well. I think at 14-1, she's a good each way shout, but I do think Wonderful Tonight will win.
Mr. Chapman?
Yeah, I think Ruby summed it up really well. I mean, we all expect Wonderful Tonight to win, but not all of us want to back a horse of 4-6 like that. I mean, as Ruby knows, there'll be bumper horses from the Mullins Yard with Patrick on board that will be 4-6 that have probably got much better chance than this horse in some ways. As a bet, I like Alba Flora each way. She'll only be about 5-6-1. Some people won't bet each way at those odds, but I would think she'd have to fall over not to be in the first three. She was really impressive a few runs ago at Ascot. She didn't run badly in the Coronation Cup. That's group one. I don't think she's going to be a walkover for Wonderful Tonight. And at the odds, I'd rather back her each way than Wonderful Tonight at 4-6.
Paddy, you don't tip up 4-6 shots.
No, and I think people might be getting a bit carried away at Wonderful Tonight. I know, look, probably like should win and all that kind of thing, but 4-6 is, I think, is tight enough. And actually, the each way one I've gone for is Believe in Love, because I just was a bit taken by the Leopardstown win. And I think a bit more rainfall as well. Soft ground will suit Wonderful Tonight too. Will only suit Believe in Love. And 9-1 each way. Why not?
The only problem with what we're saying now is that the purists who really understand betting and everything will be saying, well, if all three of you think something can get in the three, it's not a very good each way betting race, because on the basis the favourite probably will fill one of the places. You're only playing for two places. So, you know, maybe we've actually made out it's not a good each way race rather than a good one. But we'll stick to our guns and hope that one of us comes up with something as the favourite goes 10 clear.
Yeah. Well, there was a couple of races on Thursday where you went for three different horses each. I'm trying to think back if any of you found the winner. I think you did in those two races. So hopefully you found the one to either follow. Of course, Divinely did you a turn, Ruby, when you tipped her up without Snowfall in the Irish Oaks. Yeah. So that could be an angle again.
I think she's a decent filly. She's a strong stayer. Now, she has been busy, but for some reason, Aidan O'Brien's fillies, they can seem to keep improving. And I'm happy enough for my each way picking Divinely anyway.
Good man. Right, let's go to the Stewards Cup. Stewards Cup, lovely, easy race. At the time of recording, 13-2, Fresh is the favourite, but God knows what goes off favourite. Hurricane Ivor, a friend of Frank Kiki, did him a turn in that dramatic or controversial or whatever way you want to call it, that race that he won or didn't win or whatever. 10-1 for Chill Chill, 12-1, Edge to Lab, who Ruby, I know you've tipped up a couple of times. Comanche Falls, Meras is 14-1, Chief of Chiefs, 14s. 14s also for Bielsa, another one who's been tipped up multiple times on the pod. Paddy, you get the honour this time.
Okay, so nicely. But to be honest with you, this is a great race to tip in because no one really expects you to get the winner. Do you know what I mean? So you can just throw it out there. I actually went for Stable in Form, Ed Walker, with William Buick up. I think it's significant and great ambassador. And it's a 16-1 shot. You're getting paid place, probably six places, I presume, something like that. So I probably should know that it's six places. I'm not 100% sure if the really, really soft ground is going to suit that well, but just the rating kind of is steadily creeping up, I think, because the horse is steadily improving. And I think it's a progressive one. This will require a career best, but probably will require a career best for whoever wins it. So why not Great Ambassador? Just with trainer in form, decent jockey up. Why not?
From one great ambassador to the other, Matt Chapman.
Yeah, I like the idea that Paddy thinks there are some races that people think we can find the winner. But anyway, it's not just the Stewards' Cup, Paddy. It's just about every race. Yeah. But anyway, look, I've gone Chief of Chiefs, each way. Charlie Fellows ran really well in the Woking and went fourth, which is the same similar type of race. Obviously, has never raced at Goodwood before. And it's a quicker track than Ascot, where he runs well. Hence why, of course, Battash has always been a little bit problematic at Ascot. It's a bit more testing than Goodwood. And the other problem for Chief of Chiefs because of that is he does stay 7 furlongs. So maybe he'll get going too little too late. He's very likely to do that anyway because he's ridden by Jamie Spencer. But I'll keep my fingers crossed and go with Chief of Chiefs. And Spencer didn't really do much for me earlier in the week when I really fancied him on a couple. They both got in trouble, as I predicted. But I'm hoping for better here with Chief of Chiefs.
I'm going to go for one going open trip. I agree with Matt. Goodwood is a fast track. And I'm going to go for Montegali. Now, I know the 12-year-old Caspian Prince beat him on his last start, but that was 5 furlongs in Bath. I think up to 6 furlongs in Goodwood would suit him. Jim Crowley, he could do no wrong at the meeting last year. Not quite having the same luck this year, but I'm going to go for Montegali, Charlie Hills and Jim Crowley going open trip from 5 to 6.
3 picks. To be fair, like, you know, it is a Stewards' Cup, so I think we'll forgive you for 3 different selections in the same race again, lads. Okay, just a couple of races, Matt, before you head on into the sunset at Newmarket. We've got the Filly's Nursery, which is due off at 2:10 over 6 furlongs. Expecting quick conditions, no prices at the time of recording. Lady Ayrton looking for a hat trick. What are your thoughts?
Well, Patrick, I know some people might think I'm nuts, boom, boom, but I'm going to go with Cashew for George Bowie. Paddy's still trying to work that out. Ruby just given up. James Doyle. The filly found 7 furlongs a bit too far last time. Dropped back in trip. Lots of experience. High in the nursery, which at this time of year is usually quite good. So I'm going to go for the nutty horse. That's Cashew, Ruby.
Ruby definitely got that. I love a cashew, chicken cashew.
Oh, yes. Sickening, horrible things.
What? How could you not like cashew nuts?
No. Honey roasted nuts are easily the best. Honey roasted.
Good grief. All right, Ruby, your thoughts?
My thoughts, I was going for one high in the weights as well. I agree with Matt that top end two or the top end horses in nurseries can be the ones to follow. But I was going for the Hannon horse, Symphony Perfect. Great run in Newbury on his last start behind Gubas. And I thought, into a nursery after coming from that race in Newbury, big shout.
Okay, the 2:45 is the listed event on the card at Newmarket. It's the pretty good race, actually. Save a Forest, already twice winner this season, joint favourite with Sayida, who's looking for 3 on the bounce for Charlie Appy and James Doyle. Yes, Yes is on a hat-trick, unbeaten, at 9-2 for Ave Becker. What a week for him. Ruby, your first off on the 2:45?
Yeah, I was going for Save a Forest on our Epsom Oaks run, finished 4th. Divinely was just in front of her. I tipped Divinely each way in the Lily Langtree, so I'm going for Save a Forest here.
Mr. Chapman?
It's wide open, but I'm going to now turn this podcast into a piece that needs to be put behind the red button because my selection is Yes, Yes. I really fancy Yes, Yes. Rafe Beckett and Rob Hornby, unbeaten, daughter of Camelot, seems to stay strong. Look, these are all much of a muchness. Some of them are a bit more exposed than others, but there's only a few pounds between them. Yes, Yes. Could be the horse who just has a bit more to give. Wake up, Ruby!
If our listeners are still listening after that disturbing piece of audio there from Matt Chapman, thank you for toying with us. The good news is for you that, Matt, you're heading off, so give us your nap, and then we're going to talk about Galway.
Well, in the paper on Saturday, it might sound crazy, but I've napped Alba Flora each way.
Wow, okay.
If she finishes in the first 3, we will make a small profit. If she wins, then we dance around Goodwood naked.
Okay, disturbing audio, disturbing images. I bid you adieu, Mr. Chapman, after your performance today. Thank you very much for all your help this week. Help?
Yes, I want to wish everyone well. I want to wish Paddy well with his tight T-shirt. And I hope that Ruby sobers up at least sometime before he goes on air later on today.
I think he's gone beyond, no, just looking at his face and the colour of his eyes, sober, he's definitely past the sober stage. He's into the hangover stage and it's taken hold, I think it's fair to say.
Fishing up, all right.
Me hoop.
I think people will enjoy the fact that they've seen this Iron Man for all these years and now they know he can get hammered like everyone else. It's fantastic. Have a good day, everyone.
Goodbye, Matthew Chapman. Thank you very much. We will be right back with a view on the weekend at Galway.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Yes, time to look ahead to the final 2 days of the Galway Festival as Matt toddles off into the sunset. He hasn't a clue about Irish racing. So Ruby Walsh and Paddy Power are going to hopefully provide us with a nice few winners. And as I said, Fran Berry was on fire during the week, so no pressure at all on Mr. Power. Right, lads, it's an all-flat weekend, as we know now, due to the COVID, over the COVID. So let's have a look at 2 o'clock. It's the mile race for 15 grand. Paddy, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's the one thing that obviously every year is the same, but this year in a couple of the races, it really stood out again. Just reminds you, gives you a kick up the arse when you back one and you say, like, why did I back it from a wide draw or whatever? The draw is so important, especially over 7 furlong a mile, that type of trip. So I'm using that as my starting point. I'm going for Dream Tail in this race. And I've got a plum draw in, where is he gone? I think he's drawn one, maybe. To find him now, I've lost him the thing. Yeah, he's drawn one, which is even perfect. Now he's won. He's been dropped in before to win, and he's won from being prominent. So obviously I'm hoping he runs prominently rather than gets dropped in behind Everton today. And I hope he goes out and bounces out and makes it all. And I think he's got everything's kind of in his favour, I think. So especially the draw is massive for him. So Dream Tail for me for Ronan Whelan and Andy Oliver.
Lovely. I kind of skipped the two maidens, Ruby. Before we get to the 2 o'clock, was there anything that caught your eye in those maidens?
Yeah, I thought Stone Age would win the first good one in Leopardstown. Shamey Heffernan riding for Aidan O'Brien by Galileo. Doesn't have to improve a whole pile to win the first. And I thought Shirk in Ireland, drawn in two for Colin Keane and Dermot Weld in the second race, was a good turn behind Wild Dollar at the Curragh. I thought that might nearly win the second.
Bit of Shirk in Ireland, lads?
No. Where is it?
It's off the west coast, isn't it?
Definitely it's off the coast somewhere anyway.
God, thank you, Paddy. Yes, our geographical consultant has confirmed that an island is not inland. Right, thank you very much for that. That's a few selections, the first few races. There's a kind of an interesting maiden, the 313. I call it an interesting maiden because it's worth €25,000 and you don't see too many of those. It's part of an auction series. Now, Jessica Harrington's got Nick Tarris in this race. Noel Mead has got Zoffman in the race with Colin Keane booked. And Jesse's also got It Snowing in the Snow Fairy Colours. Paddy, any thoughts on that, mate?
Yeah, I'm actually going for, I thought Gavin Cromwell had a couple of really good runners this week. Like his horse seemed to be in decent form. And I think with Wayne Lorden booked, I think Bazia is interesting. And it could be a decent price against some of the, there'll probably be, you know, Zoffman and Nectaris, so that would probably be towards the top of the market. And Bazia might be fifth or fourth or fifth or even sixth maybe in the betting. So you might get an each way angle to it. And I just think Wayne's such a good jockey and the stable in form. Why not Bazia?
Any thoughts on that race, Ruby?
I was kind of favouring Nectaris. I know it was second to Sicy at Goran Park, and Sicy got beaten since, and Leopardstown went to Tipperary then and finished third behind Celtic Times and Holt. But I just thought with experience, I'd be favouring experience on Galway, and Nectari, presuming the road to start, would be the one for me.
We're making it said day handicap by a handicap debutant for Shadwell, Dermot Weld, Colin Keane, first time blinkers, Bar Rudd. Without the benefit of prices now, lads, I'm going to assume this one's going to be pretty strongly fancied. Is that fair,
buddy? Yeah, I mean, look, that's, we said it earlier, Matt and Ruby were saying about nursery handicaps to just kind of go towards the top of the betting, like, or the top of the weights, rather top weight in a nursery if in doubt, and happens to be drawn one, so great draw as well. It happens to be trained by Dermot Weld. I mean, it does tick a few boxes, Barud, so yeah, I think I won't go further than that.
Ruby, any thoughts on the nursery?
No, that'd be the one to go for, but I just think Cool and Clever could be interesting too for Jim Bulger and Kevin Manning. They don't have a wonderful record at Galway, Jim and Kevin, but I suppose they can't have a good record everywhere. But one on soft ground at Roscommon on the beat Sunset Shiraz. And I just thought it looked a progressive two-year-old.
Fair enough. By far and away, the most interesting race on Saturday, I think it's fair to say, is the Galway Shopping Centre Handicap. Big shout out to the Galway Centre Shopping Centre I'll take any and all. I'll take any and all goods.
Vouchers.
For the shout out. Vouchers will do. Yeah, I could do a new jacket. Definitely, given this weather. This is a 100,000 euro handicap. So this should be competitive. And it is competitive. Topping the weights is a 104 rated Bolivar. And then you go right down to the bottom. Crowns Majors already run this week for Emmett Mullins and Wes Joyce right at the bottom. Aya was an interesting eye-catching runner. Ran a decent race in a list race for Aidan O'Brien and Wayne Lorden down the bottom of the weights. So, Ruby, this is a good contest.
It is a good contest. You've gone down towards the bottom to find Crowns Major, who was unlucky here earlier in the week, but that was over a little further, if my memory serves me right. I thought it was 2 miles. It was dropping back in trip. Looked at Active Gear at 2 miles, so look, maybe that'll sharpen them up. Emma Mullins also runs G-Rex, who ran well at Bellystown his last start, and he finished fifth. Think that has a small squeak as well. Willie Mullins runs Baby Zeus. I think going back right-handed would be a big help for Baby Zeus. Won well at the Curragh, its first start for Willie. Looked an very awkward ride for Holly Doyle then in Leopardstown going left-handed, but going back right-handed, up an extra couple of furlongs in trip. I think 12 furlongs going right-handed will really suit Baby Zeus from a good draw and stall too.
Paddy?
Yeah, do you know what? I actually started, I've written down and scribbled it all out and gone for something else, but Crowns Majors where I started with this because I backed it the other day and I thought might have just got beaten by a terrible draw and is a better draw this time round. But actually, when I looked at the race again, I came down on Sionok Ella for Joseph Murphy and Niall McCullough. And the reason why was, I think the kind of step up and trip might bring about a bit of improvement, but it's less experienced than most of these runners. But being less experienced means it's also less exposed. So there could be a bit more improvement to come. It's a four-year-old going the right way. And if the extra trip brings out some improvements to Yannick Ella, I think it could go close.
Interesting. Watch out for that one. Also watch out for One Cool Poet, of course, the hero of, was that a couple of years ago when he won three?
2019, yeah.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, and he's running in this race, Sam Ewing, on board for Matthew Smith. Right, that is Saturday covered, unless there's anything in the latter races, lads. We'll move on. That's actually one more race only on the card. We'll move on to the Sunday card. Sunday card, not fabulous, I'll be honest, but there is a very good handicap at 350. But before that, actually, there's a 245, which is a maiden, in which we could see potentially a decent enough horse. Paddy, you've had a look at this 245?
Yeah, it's a handicap.
The handicap, sorry, not a maiden.
Or maybe it's a maiden, but they call it the Ardlon Hotel Handicap just to throw us off the scent. But it is a handicap, I believe.
It could be a bunch of maidens.
I've an interest in this race because Mum's horse Phantom Power is running. And I can tell you, they don't have many runners around Galway. And Eddie Lynham doesn't have that many runners around Galway. And the fact that he sent a Phantom there, I think, is maybe significant. I know they think plenty of Phantom, and he hasn't really done it on the track. He's been there or thereabouts, but hasn't really, you know, put his head in front. And he's kind of not tricky to train, but like he's what's the word? They can't push him too hard training because they feel like he's got. I can't articulate the right word, but just they don't want to push. They want to wait to the racetrack to really find out to get to the bottom of him, basically. And they feel like he's loads of talent and that he could just put it all together. And I'm just hoping that Galway is a track that might just let him travel into the race. And then when he presses the button late on, he might actually find something. So, yeah, I think Phantom Power is possibly not well handicapped on form, but well handicapped on what he shows at home. Do you know what I mean? So maybe he's one of those horses that won't just put it in, but I think Eddie's horse are in decent form now as well. And I think him sending him to Galway is significant.
And he is a maiden, I've noticed. Ruby, your thoughts on that?
I didn't have a strong opinion on the race, PK, and I'd be gladly listen to Paddy Power telling us that Phantom Power works a hell of a lot better than he runs.
That's fair enough indeed. The 350 is the big race on the Sunday. It's the Ahanoura handicap. I've got that wrong. It's not the 350. When is the Ahanoura?
315.
Oh, here. Who did this run order, lads? Move on. 315, the Ahanoura.
Yeah, I think Soaring Monarch was a non-runner in the Colm Quinn Mile on Tuesday. When the rain came, he's interesting. Plenty of these did run, especially the 8 on McGuinness ones. Obviously, Sir Jack Thomas was the winner. He pulls out. So does the top weight. Current option and Spanish Tenor. Quizzical ran well from an okay draw in the Colm Quinn Mile. Only has an okay draw again in the Ahanoura. But I thought Spanish or Soaring Monarch could be interesting for Peter Fahey. I think his horses have been running well all week.
Ruby was the one I had drinking until 5 a.m. and I can't do that. I've been sitting in my dungeon here and I can't get the running order right. Paddy, your thoughts?
Well, I thought like that. It was like watching the Shergar Cup, watching that race that Sir Jack Thomas won, wasn't it? Like they're all the same colours, all of them coming together in like a cavalry charge.
They were all trained by Aidan McGuinness.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So Sir Jack Thomas, I thought, was particularly taking, and you know, like Galway is a great track for throwing up multiple winners in a week, and obviously handles the track, and obviously is in great form, etc., etc., etc. It won't be half the price it was the last day, but I think Sir Jack Thomas, yeah, I'd be happy to stick with him.
Okay, interesting. Become another double Galway winner. I had asked you to look at the Fillies Maiden, which I had listed at 420. Guess what? It's at 350. Had you had a look, Paddy, at that race?
I did. Had a quick look at it, and that's hard. Look, it's hard to know, isn't it? So I just went for the blatantly obvious one, the unraced Fine Lace for Dermot Weld and Colm Keane, drawn okay in six. So, like, for absolutely no reason other than that.
Simple as Dermot Well following the maidens. The 420 is a real humdrum kind of run-of-the-mill handicap. It's called the JPK fencing system. I actually do need a bit of fencing, so I'm going to call JPK fencing. I'd love some.
And PK, it works out perfectly.
It's great, isn't it? Isn't it great? I mean, they can come on the pod if they want to. If you listen, JPK, it's me and you. Honestly, I don't have that much land, but I really do need some fencing and some sheep as well. Ruby, I would never have asked you for reviews in this race on the basis of this looks, but I do notice Mr. Mullins is an interesting runner.
Yeah, and Paddy, PK is having an absolute nightmare here since we got to Galway on Sunday. He can't find the races. He's calling handicaps maidens. He's calling conditions race handicaps. He's just having an absolute mare since we got to Galway on Sunday. And he's just been digging me for the last hour about being out last night. Perhaps you should have been out last night, PJ.
I really should have.
And micromanage. Yeah, look, he's been a hard horse to train. He had a couple of runs over hurdles this year and they were a little bit disappointing, but he does seem to be in good form at home. This time last year, he was being readied up for a tilt at the Irish St. Ledger. He was third in the trial last August behind Delphi and Master of Reality. We think he's in really good form. He's a high class horse. He obviously has Mythical to beat and My Mate Mozzie, but we think he's in good order, micromanage.
Gentlemen, I think it's time for me to end this shambolic podcast on my behalf, but I'm going to end it with hopefully a couple of winning naps from yourselves. Paddy, you can go to Goodwood on Saturday, Galway on Sunday, Galway on Saturday. Where is your strongest fancy?
I'm actually going to go to Galway on Saturday, one we haven't mentioned yet.
Oh my God, so I didn't even get the race out in the original podcast.
It's a sports race, a 2:35. It's a really hard, tricky race, which is why I'm going for that one. But I have this theory, and it worked for me earlier in the week. With that, was it Galty Mist, the one that won from the front?
Yeah.
Yeah, when I just looked at it, just the way that just jumped out at me, because I had a really good draw. All the fancy horses in the race were drawn wide, and it was him and loads of 50-1 shots around, and then I had the good draws. And on it, to the same kind of theory and logic, I'm going for Roque Etoile in the 2:35. It ran and finished fourth early in the week to Black Cat Bobby, who runs again, and both of them had a bad draw that way. Black Cat Bobby has a bad draw again. But Roque Etoile is the plum draw in one. So I just think, and a lot of the ones around him are the unfancied ones in theory. So I think he might get his comeuppance or his recompensation or something, whatever that word is. He might have a better crack than finishing fourth.
You were dead last night.
It's great being so articulate. I know, it's amazing. Yeah, I'm such a wordsmith.
Oh, Ruby, save us. The man who's more hungover than anyone.
I'm going to go for Baby Zeus in the 420 on Saturday at Galway. I think left-handed really didn't suit him in Leopardstown. Going right-handed like he was at the Curra and up to a mile and a half will bring out the improvement that's required.
Speaking of improvement that's required, there will be improvement. It is required for the next podcast, which will arrive next week. But thank you very much, Ruby and Paddy, for your thoughts on the weekend. Ruby, thank you for your long week of podcasts and RTV and all that sort of crack. I think you deserved those few pints last night. Or what is the drink of choice?
A couple of glasses of wine with dinner is what I had.
That's it? A couple of glasses of wine? Jesus, I tell you the effect.
Like big glasses, I can tell you.
Could you fit an entire bottle in that glass?
Yes, I did.
Lads, look, thanks very much. It's a busy week. I hope we've kept you entertained, you the listener, over the course of the week. We will be back next weekend to preview another brilliant weekend of racing. Until then, stay safe, stay well. If you do feel you are struggling with your punting, do check out responsiblegaming@paddypower.com and you'll be able to get all the tools you may or may not require. But until next time, gentlemen and ladies, stay safe and stay well.